So we discussed yesterday, Tom, discussed the Machlok Sfin Rabbi Kiva and Yishmael about with whose property do we assess when you want to make payment, right? Whose property do we assess it with? Rabbi Yishmael believes it's been the Nizak Shemina. We look at the scale of property of the person that's been damaged. And Rabbi Kiva says, been the Mazik Shemina. Tomorrow, yesterday, dealt with the source for Rabbi Yishmael's position. That has to do with the Gzeira Shava of today's day, because the Pasuk lays out, right, by the Pasuk of Shein and Regel, when it lays out the Pasuk, it says, Ki Yaver Ish Sadeh Chemer, or Cherem, Vishilach Et Biro, Vier Vistacher, there it's clearly talking about the Sadeh of the Nizak, in the first half of the Pasuk. Then it says, Meitab Sadehu, Meitab Kamo Yishalem. So there's a possessive Sadeh at the end of the Pasuk. So all Rabbi Shmuel says that they're all consistent. The whole Pasuk talks about Sadeh, Sadeh is always of the Nizak, the one getting damaged. So too, when it comes to payment, it comes from Meitab Kamo, and Meitab Sadeh must have Kamo of the Nizak. Right, Rabbi Kiva believes, no, Bidamazik Shamina. That's it based on the side of the Mazik. I mean, we look at his scale of property. So if we look at his scale of property, there's going to be a possibility that he's going to pay, right, his Edith, which far exceeds, right, the level of the Nizak's level of property. So Gemara talks here about Rabbi Kiva, it's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up on the bottom on the Vavam at best. Right, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo ba katuga le gavot nizakin min ha'idit. The kavachomer le kodesh. My kavachomer le hekdesh. What's this kavachomer to hekdesh? Imeim ad nagach tor didan le tor de hekdesh. Is it because your shore went ahead and damaged the shore of hekdesh? There we have a specific mute from the pasuk which says, Shore e yuar marchwana velor shore shel hekdesh. When it comes to the damage of a shore, it says, V'chei gof shore ish et shore re'eilu. The implication is, what's being damaged? What's being damaged is Shor Re'eilu, your friend Shor. Your Hekdesh is not your friend. Therefore you are, what? Patur, when it comes to damage done to Hekdesh. So that obviously can't be the issue that the Bekeev is addressing. If you're Patur, there's nothing to talk about in terms of Meitav over here. Question of why the Gemara did not address any other form of Nizakin here. I mean, why is it only talking about Shor? Maybe you have boar, you have ish, you have other things that could damage hekdesh. Rashi brings two lashonos as to why the Gemara does not address those others. Either is that who has in the choshen nizakin, and the din that we learn by shor is applicable to all other nizakin. Rashi brings a lishna achrina, which suggests that there's no possibility of damage by any other of the forms of nizakin. For instance, like Shane regularly says, for instance, there's no way to do this. I mean, what happens to a field that's given hekdesh? Hekdesh has to monetize that right away. They need to sell it and get rid of it. So if they sell and get rid of it, it's no longer a Hekdesh's field. So you say to me, before they sell it, right, in that interim period before they monetize the field, there's a time where it belongs to Hekdesh. We know, ein mi'ilo b'karkaot, right? There is no mi'ilo, there is no chiyuv mi'ilo or getting hanah from Hekdesh when it comes to something that's attached to the ground. Therefore, you can't come up with cases. There actually is one possibility that it's just a din in the zakin in general, that you can't be obligated to pay nizakin when it comes to hekdesh. That's a limud from shor. Or the other possibility is that it's just not possible to come up with a case where you would be chayiv in hekdesh in the other nizakin. That's why Gemara used the example of shor. Ella, the omer harei alai manal menneh the bedek abayit. Someone says, I'm chayav, makes a donation to bedek abayit. That begins where shokol midit. So when it comes to make a donation, make a pledge, hekdesh comes to collect on their pledge, they take from your best property. When it says, I mean, why is making a pledge to Hekdesh makes you no worse than a debtor? Right? And we know that a debtor pays with middle line property. So what are you going to say? Rabbi Kiva holds that the status of a Baal Chov is that he always collects from Edith, from the best property, not from Benonit. Right? You can break that Kavachomer up. Malabacho, because just what we just said just before. Malabacho, shaken yachvet koko benizakin. When it comes to a layperson, when you're dealing with a debtor and a layperson, there is chiyuv nizakin. If they got into a case where they damaged someone's property, they'd also be obligated to pay. Tomar behekdesh shahorah koko benizakin. When it comes to hekdesh, if someone damages hekdesh, they don't have to pay. So you can't make a kavachomer from a regular bacho to hekdesh because you can break up the kavachomer. There's a kula in hekdesh. So that when you damage Hekdesh, there is no payment. So there's actually a kula. So Mar says, no, lo olam denogach tor didan lo tor de Hekdesh. It's a case where your shore damages the shore of Hekdesh. So now, if that's the case we just said before, shore re'ehu, right, there is no chiyuv then. The kashlach shore re'ehu, armar achmano, the pasuk says no payment. lo shor shel hekdesh. Rabbi Kiva sorer like Rabbi Shimon ben Nasya. What's that? The tanya of Shimon yatzu omer shor shel hekdesh nagach shor shel hedyot. Hekdesh that does damage patur. Shor shel hedyot nagach shor shel hekdesh ben tam ben buad mishalem nezak shalem. Right, you pay full freight. You pay full damages when it comes to hekdesh. So how do you explain? That's how he explains the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Dechi gof shor ish et shor yehu," right? And then it gives you the din of tam. So what you could have learned is one pasuk is what we learned before. Shor yehu means that they're outside the parshim nizakin legamrei. The other possibility is to say that this chiluk between tam and muad is only applicable when you have shor yehu. But when it's not shor yehu, there will be no distinction of tam and muad, and you'll pay as a muad all the time. You'll pay as full cost all the time. So therefore, now you actually have a chumrah in hekdesh. A regular lay person, if you damage them, there'll be distinction. Shor re'ehu will be distinction between tam and muad. When it comes to hekdesh, right? No shor re'ehu. So therefore, you don't have the pasuk. If he goes shor yishet re'ehu machru et shor achai, which talks about tam, you don't have that at all. You go straight to muad, and you pay nezek shalei. So now you have a chumrah that Rabbi Akiva establishes by hekdesh, and that's how you can learn a kal v'chomer out of. Right, regular, either regular zakin or bakhov. Now you can establish a kavah chomer. Ihochi, if that's the case, let's just say Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, we might have been eaten nizak because he bore the mazik pilgate. Who says that they're arguing about different status or different levels of what the property of the mazik is worth relative to the nizak? That the lowest property of the mazik is equal to the best property of the nizak. Right, there's their machlokas. Rabbi Kiva still says you have to pay from the best of the mazik. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel says the mazik can pay his worst property, which is equivalent to the best property of the nizak. Where it says, Dilma, the kuliyama benizak shaminan. Everybody holds what's Rabbi Shmuel, which is that we assess it based on the person that damaged, the one who was damaged. Let us say that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel's machlokas is simply about what in hekdesh, how do you pay? Do you not pay at all when it comes to hekdesh? Or do you pay muad? Full, right, damages all the time. Not exactly their machlokas. That's what Rabbi Kiva says. Kava Homer, the hekdesh means that, I say hekdesh is not patur. Rabbi Shmuel says it's patur. I say it's not patur. Not only is it not patur, but it's full muad. Right, says, Rabbi Kiva sover ki Rabbi Shimon ben Asya. Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Asya. Rabbi Shmuel sover ki Rabbonon. Right, says, im kein, ma lo ba hakatu. Meaning that Rabbi Kiva's statement before wasn't simply just Kava Homer the hekdesh. He started, lo ba hakatu velo la gavot and izakin mina yidit. It sounds like he's responding to something else that has nothing to do with hekdesh, but right, it's zakin. That's something in damages that are, deal with idit. That's number one. Ba'od. The other problem is my kal v'chomer hekdesh. Kal v'chomer hekdesh implies that something happened in nizakin. Right? If nizakin pay me idit, right, which is the idit of the mazik now. Right? If you're paying for the idit mazik, then we have a kal v'chomer to hekdesh. Kal v'chomer hekdesh now stands because Rabbi Kiva thinks that hekdesh is a chumrah. That you pay nezek shalem by muad and tam, and not just by tam. Now we have our kal v'chomer. Then it works. But if you say, right, if you say that it all has to do with the nizak, right, then what's the point? Rashi says, why is there no kal v'chomer if you're saying with the nizak? Because that's a kula. The kula is that we go by the nizak and not the mazik, that then the person who did damage could actually pay with his worst property. He could pay with ziboris, which is the best of the nizak. So actually, the Torah is being makil and going in his favor. So then, right, if we're makil, right, then how can, if we're coming to be, if you say anizak is a kula, then how can Rabbi Kiva come and say all of a sudden, kal v'chomer l'hekdesh, right? Meaning that it's one thing, if you're machmir on the mazik, then we can say kal v'chomer l'hekdesh, right? It's even more so by hekdesh. But if we're makil in the zakin, then what type of kal v'chomer is this to say that by the hekdesh, you're gonna, mazik's gonna pay his best property? There is no kal v'chomer anymore. That's the way Rashi explains the kal v'chomer. Tosos, on the other hand, explains it that it's not a disagrees with Rashi's premise that this is a kula over here, but that rather explains that the kal v'chomer is that in inyan meitav. If you're talking about meitav, right, then how can you call it a kal v'chomer? Because he says over here near the reed, Dr. Pershu, my kal v'chomer hekdesh. The inyan chiyuba mazik behekdesh lo kamar. He didn't talk about hezek by hekdesh. The Hamikra the Rabbi Shimon Nafka, right? Because he learns that from the Pasuk of Rabbi Shimon. El Inyan Meitav Kamar. He's talking about Meitav here. Meitav is the only din that they're learning in this Pasuk. The law of Rabbi Kivla, Dura the Rabbi Shmuel, Kavahoma the Hekdesh. Came to Rabbi Shmuel, Hayamoda Mekach. Truthfully, Rabbi Shmuel would agree to Rabbi Kivla's position, Ilav Mishum the Pasuk Leila Gamrei. Meaning that their machlokis has nothing to do with whether the Nizak or the Mazik is Chayav, and therefore you say they're Chayav Meitav. Everybody agrees you're Chayav Meitav. And there could be a kal v'chomer hekdesh. Their only machlokas is about shoreyu. How do you explain what shoreyu? Shoreyu is either your patur, or shoreyu is that you are chayav legamrei. But that's an interpretation of another pasuk. It has no relevance to a kal v'chomer over here. Kal v'chomer starts to deal with a pasuk about meitav. There they don't disagree. That's not where the machlokas is. The machlokas is in hekdesh itself. Therefore it doesn't make sense to bring a kal v'chomer to hekdesh. V'od, another thing, ha'amar Rav Ashi, Tanya Behejo, we have an explicit right so that says this is their machlokas. Meitav sedeu, meitav karmo yishalem. Meitav sedeu shal nizak. Umeitav karmo shal nizak. Divir Rav Yishmael. Just explicitly. Rav Kiva Omer, meitav sedeu shal mazik. Umeitav karmo shal nazik. So it's clear that their machlokas is about the nizak and the mazik. Where do we assess it? Do we assess the value at the nizak level, or do you assess it at the mazik level? Now, Rabbi Akiva, in addition to this, when he says that it is the mazik, then has a kal v'chomer to hekdesh. Because already we're telling the mazik, the one who's obligated to pay here, is going to pay with his best property. Akiva says the same thing by hekdesh. When you're obligated to pay to hekdesh, you're going to have to pay your best property. Why? Because hekdesh has a chumrah over a layperson. That is, that you pay nezek shalem, tam, and muad. By a layperson, you have a differentiation between tam and muad, and therefore you have a kal v'chomer that says, if I'm going to pay meitav by a layperson, I'm certainly going to pay meitav by hekdesh. Tell me lay by the rabbi, which is going to get us to this answer here. Rabbi asks rabbi, they have a stira in the psukim. Steve, meitav sedeu, meitav karmo yishalem. When it comes to shein and vegel, the pasuk explicitly says that you have to pay out of the best stuff. Meitav yin, midei achrin alo. That means that simply you're limited to paying out only high level or good property. That's the only thing you can do. Vatanya, we have a braisa that says by boar, right? By the damage of boar, it says by boar, bala boar yishalem, ketzav yashiv the ba'alav, v'meiti yalo. So by boar, right, there is a yashiv the rabot shave ketzav. Because the poster could have simply said, ketzav, right, wait, the bala boar yishalem, ketzav the ba'alav. What's yashiv? Yashiv is an extraneous word. Yashiv tells you, rabot shave ketzav, afilo subin. You can pay him anything that has monetary equivalent, meaning any assets that you can give him, as long as it's what? As long as it's movable. I mean, as long as it's metalculin, you can pay him even oats, or you can pay him bran, but these are things that are not considered to be high level assets, but nevertheless, you can give it to him.
Let's go to a health store and make yourself a moment.
What if this is a theorem? And one is something about how do we know that the payment for Shemarino has to be the same as
Right, so the assumption, right? That's the general assumption, the Gemara that we dealt with earlier, Dapim, the Tosfos dealt with it a little bit, but that all the Nizakim are learned out one from the other. So whatever is applicable by one of the Nizakim should be applicable to all.
Exactly.
Right, lo kasho, kan mi. It has to do with how he's paying. If he willingly repays the damage, or whether he has to be forced by Beis to pay the damage. So, what's the difference? The Rashi says, if it's midato, he can pay any amount he wants. He can pay whatever he wants because he's willing to pay right away. You don't bother to have the other guy bring him to Beis Din, do all this effort. If you're already going to bring him to Beis Din, Rashi says something strange. I'll say that he says, Enu Mashalim Ela Ketzef. Right? Rashi says, if he takes him to Beis Din, he can only pay money. But truthfully, the other side there is Meitav Sadeu. That Rashi here said, he should have said Meitav Sadeu that you pay him. I said Rashi says Ketzef, which Rashi sees the Meitav Sadeu as being equivalent to Ketzef.
We have to confirm everywhere that something that is so liquid is considered like money.
Right. And so you have to say that Meitav Sadeu to them was cash equivalent. Amar Ula Breder of Eloi, Dekanami, I can give you a Yukdiv, Yichtiv Yishalem. When it says, Ketzef Yashiv the Balab, it says Balabor Yishalem, Baal Korcho. That's against his will. Now, I don't know how diktuk wise that doesn't really fit. So I'm really Rabbi, and Rabbi jumps on that right away. He says, Mikdiv Yishulam, meaning that Yishulam would be that someone else is pressing him to pay, forcing him to pay. But Yishalem, Steve, means that you will pay. I mean that Yishalem, he will pay, which means could be willingly also. Midato mashma. There's no proof from the pasuk. Elam Rabbaye Kidimar. This halacha has to do with a position of Rabba. The Tanya, we have a braisa. Harishayulo Batim Sadot Vikramim. Right, there are actually three ways to read this Gemara. Rashi brings two Lishonot to read the Gemara. Doesn't quote the Rif. That brings a third way to read the Gemara. Most of them reject and go with this first question of Rashi. That's how I'm going to explain this Gemara. It's a difficult Gemara, but I'm explaining it according to the first question of Rashi because it's the most simplest and where most of the Rishonim lean towards is that first question of Rashi. So he has Batim Sadot Vikramim, Ve'enu Motzeilum Ochran. He has property, fields, and Kramim, and he's unable to sell them. Machzino to Matzer Ani Ad Mechza. You feed him Matzer Ani until Mechza. What's the case here? So there's a principle in Maitzer Ani, which is that a person who has less than 200 zuz is entitled to collect from Maitzer Ani. That's the threshold. The poverty line is considered to be 200 zuz. So if you have less than 200 zuz, you can collect from Meiser Ani. Above 200 zuz, the value, you have assets, you're not allowed to collect from Meiser Ani. If your value is below 200 zuz, and some guy shows up and gives you 1,000 zuz in one shot, you're allowed to take it. And as long as you're below the threshold, you don't have to just get back to the threshold. Whatever money they give you, you can take, even if it throws you way over the threshold. On the other hand, if you're above 200 zuz, you're not entitled to take anything from, right? Anything from Meiser Ani. So, the case here is that he has batim, sadot, karmim that are worth exactly 200 zuz. They're worth exactly 200 zuz, which would preclude him, right, from taking from Meiser Ani. Now the Gemara says, v'havi bar, mar, hei chei domi. Rabbi asked the question, what's the case here in our, right, what's the case here in this price? He who zal arta de kuliyama, v'didei nami zil badayu. The value of all property in the world went down, and his property went down with them as well. He didn't do anything wrong. His property value that used to be 200 is now worth less than 200. So he should be able to, or he should be entitled to collect Meiser Ani, number one, as much as he wants. I mean, like that same idea that if he's below 200, he can get a 1,000 zuz check, and he's entitled to take it. I mean, give him as much as he needs.
So why does it say
Azol?
Right.
So Azol to Kuliyama Nami. Right, everybody else's went down in value. Ella, the okir are up to kuliyama. No, that's the value of that. Everybody's property value went up, right? Problem is that everybody else's property went up in value, but he, because he's trying to sell his property, he's desperate to monetize his property, people are paying him less because they know he's desperate. So because of that, the value of his property has now dropped. Gemara says, that he's a posheya. In this case, it's his fault. That the property is really worth 200 zuz. It's because of his actions that the property is below 200 zuz. So because of his actions, we're not going to allow him to come and dip into Meiser Ani if he did something that's causing the detraction of value here. The true objective value of the property is 200, and therefore he's not entitled to Meiser Ani at all. Va'amar mara la lo tricha. The case here is the benomi yomi de nisan yigakra arato, yomi de tishrei zil arato. Meaning that there's the selling season and there's the off season. Right, so when you've been in the time of the springtime when you sell property, or in the spring into the summertime, that is the good selling season. Why? Because, as Rashi points out, you can plant it for the next year. In Tishrei already, it's too late to plant for that year. So the price is lower because the guy's going to have to sit the property for another 6 months, 9 months until he can plant it again. So you get more money in Nisan if you sell in Nisan versus if you sell it in Tishrei. It's just a natural cycle of the year. The Kuliyama, Natri Ad Nisan, and Mizabni. Everybody else would wait until Nisan and sell at the price. That was around the higher price. But I hold the Itzer Klei Zuze, this guy, because he needs to monetize right now, Zaman Kidahashta, right? So he sells immediately. So now, Ad Palga Urche Lameza. Until 50% is a normal drop in value. I mean, that the distinction between Nisan and Tisha, the seasonal difference, up to 50% is considered normal. Today, Lav Urche Lameza. More than that is not normal. So what are you going to say here? So his property is worth 200 zuz, right? So therefore, he's only getting 100. So what we will do is bridge the difference between them. Meaning that we will say up to 50% is a normal discount. So up to 100 zuz, we will fill in for you as an ani because you've dropped below the 200 value. But more than that, we're not going to give you because that's more than the normal depreciation of property. 50% is the maximum depreciation in that seasonal cycle. That's what it is. Gemara says, "Hochanami, Gabi Nizokin, right? Dinei beidit. What's the din of someone who gets damaged? He's entitled to go to the mazik and say to me, give me idit. That's what you have to pay me. You want to pay me property, pay me idit. Being amar le'iu, hapli benonit, tvei purta. So what does he come along? He says, something like what you were asking down before, that what happens if I don't want to take, right, idit, I'd rather have benonit. I'd rather, that benonit property you have is close to my property. Much easier for me to take the property over there, give me a little more benonit, and I'm happy with it. Just pay me that equipment value in benonit, not in idit. He says, I'm right. Ishakal tekidinach. Right? If you take like you're supposed to, shakal deashka, I'll pay you at today's property values, which means now it's Tishrei, he gets more land out of that, right? He's gonna get more land. Ilo, shakal kiyokra delikameh. That if you're not willing to accept idit like your din is, right, then I'm gonna pay you based on the future value. You have to take the future value, which is the Nisan value. So if you want idit like your din, I'll pay you in the Tishrei value, you'll get more property. If you're asking me to give you outside of your din, give me benonit, I'm going to tell you you have to take future value. Future value is the Nisan value, and I'm going to pay you benonit based on what the values are going to be in Nisan. So Matzifor Racha Bayakov. Im kenorat and kofan shel nizokin into beinonu v'zimarit. What do you mean? Now you've just hurt, right? The one who got damaged. Here, the guy.
What was Abaye's point?
I'm sorry.
What was Abaye's? What was he addressing?
About what is Abaye addressing? So far, the stira.
The stira between
Yashiv and Yishalim may make up today. That's the difference here. When will he pay from? When will he pay from Meitav? And when will he pay? Right from the what do you call it? Shavu Kesef or not? So that's exactly Abaye's point. His point is that if you pay now, he pays for Meitav today. He's got to pay full value of the Meitav of the best. If he pays outside of what he deserves, the Meitav, then he can give him the Rav Shavu Kesef. He can give him based on future value. Meaning that he can give him Shavu Kesef. He gives him anything, but based on future value. That's the way right now is solving the sphere between the two psukim. Is one is when you get the best is when you do a get the hashtov, then you take full value and you get the more property based on today. If you're going to take outside of what you're entitled to take, then you're going to have to take what's future value. That's what our body is trying to suggest now in Rabba's distinction here. Now the Gemara says, Imtain, right? Maski floor Ravako Bar Yaakov. Imtain or Ratako Chanshon Lizokin Eko Benoni Tziporin. You have just caused a detriment in the ability of someone who's damaged to collect. Meaning that he's entitled, the Rachman Amarmi Meitav. The Torah says he can take from the best, which is basically an entitlement. I mean that the Torah is giving him the option to take from the best. Now he says, and you're saying that he cannot go and take from Benoni to Ziborit. It makes no sense. If he's entitled to take from Meitav, he's certainly entitled to take from Benoni to Ziborit, and he doesn't have to take a discount, right? Why does he have to take a discount to take Benoni to Ziborit? Elamar Rav Acha Beyakov, Iika Lizimuye, the Baal Kol Mizamin in life. If you want to compare the case of Rabbah, we said that Rabbah compares the case. What is this similar to? He says this is similar to Nizokim. Right? So we say, no, don't say that it's similar to Nizokim, but rather say that it is similar to the case of Baal Chov. Now, Baal Chov collects from Benoni. Baal Chov collects from the middle level property. That's where he's entitled to collect. Not best property, not worst property, but middle level property. Now, that is only in an institution, Dirabonon. So over here before we had an institution that was Del Raisa, which says that he takes from the best property. So we say certainly he should take from below it. Now we're talking about an institution de Rabbanon. What's the institution de Rabbanon Benoni? It's because if we allow him only to collect from Ziborit, which is what the Torah says, then nobody's going to lend money. Why? Because they're going to lend out money and their collateral is going to be this illiquid asset that they get back. They're going to give it Ziborit. So people are going to refrain from lending money. So what are you going to say? Give him Ezit, give him the best property. Then what's going to happen? Anybody who sees his friend who needs a loan and is in trouble, he's going to say, look what nice property he has, and he's going to go lend them knowing that the collateral is the good property. It'll be his way to basically extract the good property from him by lending him in a position he knows he might end up with that collateral. So what do you say? Go with Benoni, which was a takanat shuk that allowed for loans to be processed. You get middle-level property, but also not have people eyeing someone else's property, trying to lend them, like predatory lending, trying to get their property out. So now the din of Baal Chov is, let's spend down the Baal Chov. Baal Chov din of Benoni, imar lehavli ziborit fei purta. So what is he going to say? Give me, he's entitled to take Benoni. So he says, no, I don't want to take Benoni, I want to take Ziborit, but give me a larger tract of land in Ziborit. I'm like, isha kalpikidinach shokot ashta. If you take based on your din, which is Benoni, you can collect today at Tishrei's value. Ilo shokot kiyoka to the kamei. If you want Ziborit, you got to take it based on the future values in and Tishrei, you're going to take it at the higher values, and you'll get less, quote-unquote, equivalent, Nissan, thank you. Right, the future value in Nissan, where you have the higher prices, right, then you have to take it. So the Gemara is going to ask the same, Matkis law, Rabako, Breder, Vika, and Cain, now it's the Delos, it's named Lovin. Right, the whole point of giving him Benonit is to open up the shuk, to allow for loans to be processed, to have a liquid market. If you have a liquid market, it means that the person who lends can get back what he wants. If he wants Benonit, he's entitled. But if he wants Ziborit and you tell him no, then you're basically shutting down one of his options, right, to get repaid or taking the collateral. Well, you're starting to block off, right, the liquidity in the market. And that's not the whole point is to open liquidity in the market, not to close liquidity in the market. So Adamale, so the case is, must be, right, had I had money, had I not lent you the money, I could take my cash and I could buy Ziborit based on today's prices. I have cash, I can buy today's prices. Because I lent you the money now, I have to take things at future value? I mean that I'm losing out. By lending you money, I'm losing out. Because if I had cash, ready cash, I could buy the worst property today. Now that I don't have cash, and you have my cash, I'm losing out. Because when I take the Ziborit, I have to take it based on Nissan prices. That makes no sense. That makes that you're closing the market down. Liquidity in the market is now being drawn out. Why? Because I'm better off keeping cash than lending the money. What we want to do is create it that when he lends money, he does not lose by lending out money. And so that wouldn't make sense here. El Amar of Akha, Breder of Ika, this is the solution. Igi, Kalizmuye, Likzubat Isha, Midaminin Lake. Compared to Kzubat Isha, why is it Kzubat Isha? Kzubat Isha, Dina Bizziborit. Kzubat Isha only collects from the worst property, from the Ziborit. There, the Gemara Kzubot discusses this because, why does he take marriage? Because Yoter Meisha, Isha Rotelin Esay, Isha Rotelin Esay, that more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married, and therefore, as long as she has some collateral, she is fine. As long as her ksuba has some sort of collateral, even from the ziborit. Now, what's great about ziborit? There's nothing below it. If anything he wants to ask for, he's asking above what he's entitled to. Truthfully, Tosin says the same thing would have been true by a Baal Chov who asked for idit. Could have said the same thing, that a Baal Chov was entitled to benoni. If he wanted to go up a level, you'd have the same claim here. It'd be true too. V'yamar le'ihi, havli benoni, but your puta, I'll take a little less benoni. Give me benoni, but I'll take a little less. Amalok. If you take like what you're entitled to, which is ziborit, take at today's prices. Right, but then you'll take it. Right, then you'll take on based on future value. Why? Because she's taking something outside of what she's entitled to. I mean, she's not entitled to benoni to step up. She's not entitled to idit. And there's nothing mean that when you have the Baal Chov as benoni, he should be a benoni. Meaning that you should take anything up to benoni should be he allowed to take. When you have Yizak and Edid, it means anything up to Edid should be able to collect at today's prices. Here, she only has nothing below her, so if she's asking for more, she's got to take it based on future value. The problem with setting up the prices like this, according to Rabbi, is like the case is now equivalent to Ksubat Isha, it has nothing to do with Yizakin. Now you don't have a solution to Abaye's problem, right? Abaye said the solution to our problem is Rabbi's distinction about paying today's value and future value. If you take, like you're entitled to take today's value, take in the future, you take the higher value. I mean, if you take outside of what you're entitled to, you take future value. That was a distinction in Nizokin, but we rejected that. Then we went to Baal Chov. Then we went to Tugat Isha. We're no longer in the parsha of Nizokin anymore. What's the solution to Meitav Tadeu and Yeshiv according to Rabbi? That's what Gemara says. We call him Kasha. You're still left with a question. So Amar Rava, Kol Diayblei, Meitav, Leitivblei. Whatever you give him, you have to give the best. If you give him beer, you gotta give him the best beer. You give him wine, you gotta give him the best wine. You give him suvim, you gotta give him the best brand. You give him karka, you gotta give him the best. Meitav is a definition of within. Yashiv tells you what you can pay him with. Then Meitav tells you with what you're paying him with, you gotta pay the best. Apples, oranges, whatever you wanna pay him, you pay the best. Remember, it doesn't like that at all. Remember, it says, Baha, Meitav, Sadeyu, Tif. The only thing that Meitav modifies is Sadeu. It does not modify Yashiv. It modifies only Sadeu. Ella ki at rapapa rahuna bre the Rabshua me beirat. Parshua komile meitav hu. Right? This is what now what you were asking for, what I answered you before. Everything is considered meitav. Dilo mizdaben hoko, mizdaben matachut. If you can't sell it here, right. You can sell it somewhere else, the bar mihara, except for land. So any movable property is considered to be a liquid asset. It's a liquid asset because it can be monetized. It can be monetized quickly, either here, or it can be sold in the next city, and it can be monetized quickly, and therefore it's considered as liquid asset. Right? But, Ara, when it comes to property, property is by definition a illiquid asset. So if I'm going to give you an illiquid asset, I have to give you the easiest monetized illiquid asset. And what is that? That is the Leitav Lei Mimeitav, Keichei Delikvot Alezvino. That people will jump to buy it. Meitav is, the large assumption is that best property, highest level property, people will jump all over it to buy it. So when you're at the level of Meitav, you're giving him an illiquid asset, which is the equivalent of a liquid asset. So if I'm going to give you property, I've got to give you Meitav. If I give you Metalcolin, those are always money good. If they're money good, then that's a liquid asset. You can pay him anything you want, because he can sell it and get his money immediately. All right, now, the Gemara moves on to a question in Rabbi Akiva. Question Rabbi Akiva is, by me name of Shmuel bar Abba, Meokrunaya, Rabbi Abba, Kishen Shamin, when they assess it, now when they assess it, Bishalohen Shamin, or Bishalohalam Shamin, is this a case of subjective levels of property, or is there objective levels of property? You know that there are objective levels, three levels of property in the world, and that's objective. And you measure anybody's property up against that scale of objective standard of Idit, Benonit, and Ziborit. Or do we look at each person? He has three types of property, and then we scale his property, it's a subjective scale of property. So right there, the Levi Rabbi Shmuel, Loti Boilach. There's no question. The Amar is the Nizak Shamina. Because we assess it based on the Nizak. Now, truthfully, just because you assess the Nizak, I don't see why that can't be matched up to the Olam. Tosfos explains that's because he learned it from the Gzeirah Shavat. They learned that from the Sadeh, that it's clear that we're talking about Gut Sadeh, means the Sadeh of the Nizak. When we talk about Meitav Sadehu, it's a Meitav, the Sadeh of Shalom, meaning the Sadeh of the Nizak. So it's clear that we're assessing it in his field, and not as a subjective valuation, not an objective valuation. The question is really according to Rabbi Kiva. The Amar B'Mazik Sheminan. When he sets the value of the Mazik's property, now, we want to know what his property, what the levels of his property are, right? He has to give his best property. His best property, what happens is all of his property is, in the objective standard of the world, is all Edith. He has three levels of property, but they are all above the threshold of Edith for the world. So can he give his worst property, because that's Edith in the objective standard, or does he have to give the best, which is the best of the best, and that's the cream of the crop, because that's his personal Meitav. Right? So my Meitav Tadeu Amar Rachmana, Limne Ute de Nizak. When the Torah says Meitav Tadeu, it means his field, to exclude that of the Nizak. Meaning that he has to give his Meitav, but his Meitav just has not to be what the Nizak Meitav is. But if it's objectively Meitav in the world, that's sufficient. Oh, Dilma Lemute Da'al Manami. But this Meitav Tadeu means his personal best. Not, you know, meaning excluding what the world is. Doesn't matter what the objective level is, it's his personal best property. How do we read Meitav Tadeu? What is Tadeu coming to tell you about him? Is it telling him relative to Nizak, or is it telling you him relative to the whole world? So Amarle, Rachmana Amar, Meitav Tadeu. Means the definition of Sadeu means Sadeh Shalom. Right? Sadeh Shalom should be his personal relative best. I mean, it has nothing to do with anybody else. Simply to do with the Mazik. That's the definition of the word Sadehu. So says, is that really such a good assumption? Ain lo ella idit. So here we have three claimants against an estate or against a person. Three claimants. The claimants are a Nizak, somebody who's damaged. Right, a Baal Kol, someone who is a creditor to him, and a Ktubat Isha. Right, so now if he had three sugim of property, then what? The Nizak would take from the Idit, Baal Kol would take from the Benoni, the middle property, and then Nizak would, the Ktubat Isha would take from the Zibori. The problem is this guy has only one sugim of property. Ein lo Idit, only has great property. Kulam Govim Min Idit. Everybody takes from the best property. Benoni, if he only has Benoni property, Kulam Govim Benoni. There's no choice. Everybody takes from the middle level property. Ziborit, if only has bad property, Kulin Govin Ziborit, then everybody takes from the worst property. Hayolo Idit, Benoni to Ziborit, so if he has all three levels of property, then we say Nizakin be Idit. One of the damagee gets to collect his property, get from the best property. Balkol, the creditor, takes from the Benoni, Kidinam. Ukdurisha be Ziborit, Ukdurisha takes from the worst property, that's Kidinam. Now, what happens if he only has two types of property? Yeso Idit, Ubenoni. He has great property and middle level property. Right? Nizakim go to the Idit. Balkov to Isha Babenunit. The Balkov and the Isha have no choice. The Isha, there's no Zibori, so she'll take from middle level property. So the Nizakim will get from his Idit. The Balkov gets from Menonit like it's supposed to, and the Isha will only get to take from Menonit. The next closest property to her, which would have been Benonit. Benonit the Zibori. If he has middle level property and low level property, Nizakim to Balkov Benonit. The Balkov gets Hilchaso Benonit. The Nizak, there's no Idit, so he collects from the Benonit. And Ktuvat Isha is Ziborit. And Ktuvat Isha gets from Ziborit. So when it says, Idit is Ziborit, what happens if he only has top-level property and bottom-level property? Then, Nizak is Idit, and Nizak and Keho Chatam get from the Idit. Balchov, Ktuvat Isha is Ziborit. So Ktuvat Isha gets Ziborit, like she's supposed to. And the Balchov, you can't step him up, you have to step him down, he gets Ziborit. Now, this is interesting. Ketanem Miyah Mitziah. The middle classification in the Brisa says Benonit v'Ziborit. How does a person ever have Benonit and Ziborit property? Benonit is a relative term. Middle can only be relative to something else. So you can only have middle property if he also has higher level property and lower level property. So how can that work? He's talking about Chol Benonit, so they have Ziborit. Yeah, Mar Bishlo Ein Shamin Tase Benonit Shaloki Idit. Then his Benonit should be Idit. You should have Idit and Ziborit. There should be no way to have a classification called Benonit and Ziborit, because Benonit is a relative term. If there is no better property, then that becomes the Idit. There's no such concept. It must be, right? And
it must be that it's
therefore
Shalom.
It must be that he's assessing against Shalom. If there's an objective standard, you could have Benonit, because then it's not relative to his own property. He had Idit, so the reason it's Benonit now is his relative. At the time of the loan, or the time of the damage, he did have Idit at that time. Since he had Idit at the time, and then subsequent that had sold the property, Right? Then we know that you always take from unencumbered property before encumbered property, which is sold out already. So therefore over here, the benonit is relative to what he had before. He did have higher level property. So it is benonit relative to old property, but the edit doesn't exist anymore. So since the edit is gone, then all you're left with is benonit the ziburit. I tell you this is really the case. Why? We have a brisa that disagrees with our mission. It says benonit is ziburit. We have a case of benonit and ziburit. He's zakin be benonit. Bachovuk tuvat yisha be ziburit. And zakin gets benonit. The ktuvat yisha gets ziburit, but the bachov is knocked down to ziburit. How could it be the bachov is knocked down to ziburit? Our mission, what we just quoted before, says the bachov stays as benonit. Did he know? Akashin ahadodi. There's a stira between these two. The difference between them is whether he had edit or not beforehand. Our brishta, he had edit beforehand, so therefore benonit is really benonit. It's relative to the edit he had before. The brisa we just quoted, he never had any edit. So his benonit gets stepped up to edit. If it's stepped up to edit, then who's only entitled to collect from edit? That is the nizak. Then the Baal Chov and the Tzivat Yishar are going to be pushed to the ziborit, to the lower level property. Okay, we'll stop over here.